is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Wow. What a day. What was your first reaction when you heard?
That Altuve got a clutch hit?
Not that. Oh. Everybody got. How about Correa with two homers?
It was. How about Springer with four hits?
How about Springer with four hits?
It was just like old times.
Oh, my gosh.
Watching the Astros, I'm like, oh, my God, this feels just like old times.
It was.
Alex Bregman had a homer.
This is
everything
like,
that happened yesterday, Lance McCullers starts off good and then gives up home runs.
Everything.
It falls apart.
It was exactly like
it's just like
thought.
Old times.
That's right. And it was like, wow, we can hit. This team can hit again.
You see how crazy that looked to see, like, in the first inning, I'm talking to Steve Rockford, you know, basketball coach who loves the Astros. Z, we're raking it all over the yard. This is before they've got.
Yeah. You know, they were hitting them hard.
Hitting everything hard from inning one.
Yeah.
Everything's getting ripped.
Yeah.
You go, Z, we're going to rake them across the yard today. The boys are back. And I said, I don't know, Rock. Let's see. And he, but he was right.
Yeah.
I mean, from first inning all the way through, they were on it. And Correa. Playoff Correa can be a beautiful thing sometimes when he's swinging it like this.
That is so much fun. Man, what a day. But I think Raheel texted us first.
The first text I got was from, I think, Troy Powell, a listener, who said, really? Now you get rid of him? And I'm like, what?
The first one was Raheel said, question mark. Oh, Brian got fired? And I was like, wow. And then... another Houston Glover, who we play golf with, and he's a listener. He said, "Oh, Brian's fired." I was like, "Holy crap! What?"
Yeah.
So I'm hearing all. Well, the Vikings, you know, and I guess that was the last straw. That was the last straw. The Vikings. But here's the deal: is this was an economic decision, and at the end of the day. This guy, I mean, I really, really believe that their first non-sellout would have been a 13,000 seat non-sellout this weekend.
Oh my God.
And isn't that something?
It's possible.
That and of all of the times, of all of the sellouts and all of the big crowd, and this is something that the Texans pride themselves in. But in that building, you know, this has to have been built. It's not, listen, I give Cal, he had the onions to do this. I really give him credit. That he finally just said, we can't do this anymore. I see so many people. What's the timing? How dumb is this? Dude, you had to get
had to
this,
do it.
You had to get this guy out of there. I don't want to pile on him. You know what? He at the end of the day, he was a pretty good coach here. He ended up 52-48. He was four games over 500 as a coach here. He, if truth be told, he had some of the best teams that the Texans have ever had.
Which but, isn't saying much. You also have to say that.
Yeah, right, right.
And
right.
It was wildly ineffective in the postseason. But
right, which is but he is there's an aura. There is this team. They own this city. They've had all the sellouts. They dominate the ratings whenever they play. Channel 13 is there, and they say, well, even the preseason games. Man, when back in the day, it was 20s, and it was that's just ridiculous for a preseason game, even for an NFL team. But he had such an aura. He created such bad vibes, such dislike for this organization that you had to get rid of him just to it almost like I felt like ding dong the witch immediately. The first thing I thought
the same
was
thing is,
ding dong the witch is
ding
dead.
Dong the wicked witch is dead. And when you and I were talking about this yesterday, and I don't know if it crystallized with you. I mean it's already been crystallized with me, but it really took it to another level. When we were talking yesterday about what's the best move he's ever made as a GM? Because I really think there's a chance that Bill O'Brien, the GM, ended up getting Bill O'Brien, the head coach, fired too. Because
yes.
I could have seen a head coach still, you know, still having time after 0-4, keep coaching. Because that is money out of Cal's pocket.
Yeah.
He's going to have to pay two more years, 21 and 22. And so that is, from a financial standpoint, that's a big hit. That's why we thought he wouldn't go. For him to do it now, and he's got Romeo Crennel in-house to take over, which made it easier. But when you think about it, what's the best move? The best move he made, I guess you'd say, was extending Deshaun. I don't even think his quarterback really liked him all that much by the end, to be honest with you. Just digging around behind the scenes, I don't think Deshaun was all in on Bill O'Brien because his personality wears you out. Mm-hmm. It just wears you out. That's what I was told. He just wears you out. The second thing is, to be honest, the best move he made, because the Deshaun stuff could end up being, look, if he didn't get better, he's going to be, that's going to be a really expensive average to above average quarterback potentially if he doesn't get better. The best move he made was a trade for Carlos Hyde, who they kept for 1 year. That's the best actual free. That's the best actual GM. Signing Deshaun Watson's not hard.
No. Especially when you give him as much as you got. Especially when you give him the world.
When you give him the world, that's not hard. So I think the problem was that the general manager, and you and I talked about yesterday, you had to take the nuclear codes away from him. Mm-hmm. He was doing so much. To me, Bill O'Brien was a cancer in this organization that you had to cut out. And it was metastasizing with every move that he made was worse and worse and worse. And it was driving me crazy at the time. And I think more people finally started to see how bad they were. The Tunsil deal was terrible because he didn't negotiate it better. He didn't negotiate the salary out early, and he didn't negotiate it better in his favor since he had to take on all the new money. The DeAndre Hopkins move, you dealt DeAndre Hopkins for Brandon Cooks and David Johnson. It's not acceptable. That's what it became. Mm-hmm. It's not acceptable. Jadeveon Clowney for Gerrion Conley. That was and Jacob Martin. That's not acceptable. That's complete. And you have given away all your future draft capital. You let him keep making Zach Cunningham's deal. Whitney Mercilus Whitney Mercilus is unacceptable. There's no other GM in the league that would have done that. All the moves that he was making were hamstringing them from a future draft pick standpoint and from a salary cap standpoint. He's done tremendous damage already. You left him in there to do anything else, John, he was going to murder your chances for four years.
And that's the problem. And that's the problem. Somebody said, I'm reading all these articles, oh, they should have just fired Bill O'Brien, the GM. See, you don't know Bill O'Brien.
Who says these things?
Here's what you do is you say you just can't make any more moves. We're going to find a GM, but this was the wrong decision.
He would have thrown a fit.
But he would have been so. Listen, here's the deal. And bottom line is Bill O'Brien is a square peg in a round hole.
Yep.
Bill O'Brien, after you have Dom Capers and Gary Kubiak and Rick Smith and you have and even Charlie Casserly, I mean, you have basically, this is Houston. You basically have nice people. Now, you know, maybe they weren't all that great at what they did at times and all that. That's all fine and good. But when you bring a masshole in here, and that's what he is, and he starts pounding his, and he's angry, and just Bill O'Brien ruling with an iron hand, and Aaron Wilson, what he wrote yesterday?
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Read it.
Yeah, well, he basically, when he fired people, he told, F you, get out of the building. You know, that's not the McNair way. That's not the Houston way.
When I was told this, when Bob McNair died, I've been sitting on a lot of my stuff that I haven't said and will probably come out today. And it's Bill O'Brien lost me. The more stories first of all, he completely started to lose me with the personnel stuff because I recognized how, you know, when I heard that he gave up a second, that the Tunsil deal, how about this? The Tunsil deal was done for 2 ones, a Bill O'Brien one and Kenny Stills, which I understand. And then what's that? And the Dolphins said a 2. And he goes, and that's a heat check. At that point, Chris Greer's just like, 2? Just a heat check to like, this guy's not stupid mm-hmm. enough to take on a $7 million wide receiver who is our third wide receiver. And O'Brien said, yes. Oh my God. That's most of the moves he made. Madden wouldn't allow most of the moves he made.
No.
Madden wouldn't have allowed it mm-mm. for the Texans. They wouldn't have allowed it. That was stupid. When you have the best wide receiver draft in the last two decades and you give Randall Cobb that contract, that was unbelievably bad. One of the team's salary cap guys who I was talking to, not for the Texans, a different team, said, Lance, this is the stupidest thing I've ever seen. You've got all the power. Well, the Texans don't understand leverage at all.
When
he was a bad behind the scenes, he treated
Brandon
people
Cooks, all of it. Yeah.
Terribly.
Terribly. Yeah, no. He was, again, he is just so, I mean, and that
chased out Jeff Kaplan. You know, in the middle of the season last year, Kaplan was, get your stuff out of here. But they kept him on the – but then Bill O'Brien reached out to people in the front office and, or people behind the scenes said, keep him on the website because he didn't want people being right, namely me, about that he was fired. Because I had someone tell me who's not associated with the organization anymore, hey, Cap got whacked. I'm like, in the middle of the season? Yeah, but he wanted to keep him on the website. They kept him as a consultant. He's still there. Yeah. He's still a consultant.
But Brian Gain and Chris Olsen and guy after
good
guy,
dudes.
The coup that he with Rick Smith and then Brian Gain and together
and
with Jack
Chris
Easterby
Olsen.
And then Jack Easterby comes and
Jack Easterby.
See, you get what
hey,
you
listen. Say it. Finish saying that.
You reap what you sow, baby.
Yeah.
Guess what?
The chickens have come home
sorry,
to roost.
I don't know a Jack Easterby.
You know? What, why? Who?
I know a Lord Baelish. I know think, a Littlefinger.
Is he Baelish or
yes.
Varys?
I think Varys he's
never,
a climber.
No, Baelish Varys is a climber. Would never ascend to a powerful position. He wouldn't want his name out there. Littlefinger. Lord Baelish is what I know him as.
Oh, you think Jack is Littlefinger? I don't know. He's in his ear. I think he's warm tongue. I listen.
But look, we're not going to go with your nerdy.
Oh, that's nerdy.
Yes.
But, okay, that's he not. Is. But you're not.
No.
All right. You know who's not nerdy is John Clay Wolf. What's up, John Clay Wolf?
Good morning, Granato. Good morning, gentlemen.
I thought you're open with, your carpet muncher open was a little
baby.
Much this week, but I was proud of you, okay?
I didn't hit any potholes, I don't think.
You didn't? How did California like you this week?
They were all happy, and the guy it was weird. I mean, so that's our 40th affiliate, our largest one, you know, by a long slide shot, and the welcome to the family, want you involved in the station, you're part of us now vibe from the owner was more than I've ever gotten anywhere. And Gal's pretty good about that, by the way. And these guys were heavier. I mean, like, so I don't know. I don't know what the hell he wants. I don't know. It's kind of scared me. I'm used to being abused and spit on and, you know, put on a shelf on the side and forget about it. Mm-hmm. I don't know why they're being so nice. What do they want, Granato?
I don't know what they I don't know what they want, but you talk about a square peg in a round hole, you in California. But we'll see how it all works out. We'll figure that one out as we go along. What we're talking about is GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's if you want to sell your car, GiveMeTheVIN.com. John Clay Wolf will buy that car. He does this. He does it on the radio every Saturday morning right here on ESPN 97.5. And here's the deal. So as soon as the Cowboys fire Mike McCarthy, this whole state will be complete. We got rid of Bill O'Brien. Now all you got to do is get rid of McCarthy, and we'll be good.
Hey, is it just me or is Mahomes getting better this year than he was last year?
Yeah, he's pretty damn good. And you know what? Your guy ain't bad. Dak is playing pretty well. We'll
see.
Yeah,
he's got good stats. But I mean, yeah, that's all good. So where are you from? Did you live in Orange County or in L.A. County when you were there?
In California?
Yeah, I thought you were there for a while.
No. I've never been there. No, okay. I wouldn't live there. I mean, those people, no. Those lefties, I ain't going there. All right, we got to go. John Clay Wolf,
right.
GiveMeTheVIN.com.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. Time to talk to the Aggies head coach, Jimbo Fisher, coming off that trip to Alabama. Let's bring him in. Coach, how are you?
Doing all right. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well, man. That was a tough – man, You guys were in it, and then man, the turnover was great, and you scored again, and it was now we got a 14-14 game. That team speed that they got over there, Coach, is that where you need, especially on the back end for you guys, is that something that you got to address mightily this offseason?
Well, yeah, and we got to address right now. I mean, we still got very good players. We got to get those things ironed out. We gave up those big plays, and then we got to finish drives on offense. Had some opportunity to get some points down more than we did. We moved the ball very, very consistently on the day. And actually ate up clock, but the big plays was a huge story in the game. And we can't give them up. But we played very well against the run and didn't overload the box. We're not an overloaded box to do that. And, you know, they're big playmakers, you know, got big plays and really hurt us.
Yeah. No, one play doesn't, but a drop certainly to hurt you guys as well. Anaya Smith had himself some big plays, but the drop was something that was awful tough.
It was a big play in the game too. I mean, before the turnover right before by us too also. But then that drive we're gonna get down there and get within one, and Anaya played an outstanding game. Not just only he ran the ball well, he caught the ball at 123 yards, 2 touchdowns, but his pass blocking, his pickups, you look at on film, is about as good as there is anywhere. I'm talking about played his tail off. Unfortunately, had the one bad play or the one drop, and there's nobody harder on himself because that could have been that kept us to a one-score game or definitely 11 and not giving him the ball back, and they got that score there. And that was big. You know, those are all critical moments and what we did, and that's what we got to learn to play is critical play when you get in those match games against really good people that you can't have it and you can't give up the big plays.
Jimbo Smith on your home for Aggie football, ESPN 97.5. You got it. It's nice to have Spiller and Anaya Snow. I mean, you got a nice 1-2 punch there.
Yeah, we do. I mean, those guys do a good job and they complement each other very well and, you know, are good players. And you know, we got to continue to keep feeding them the ball different ways and different things in which we're trying to do.
I think I called you Jimbo Smith. Jimbo Fisher, obviously. I was
thinking about Anaya Smith.
I was thinking of Anaya Smith. Was on my mind.
I was wondering about the benefit of Anaya, because you ran him, you know, on that touchdown. He got matched up on a linebacker and came up out of there. I mean, that's kind of a benefit to have I know it's unusual, but to have a running back either with wide receiver skills or, in your case, sometime a wide receiver playing running back, that does give him the ability at times, because of the personnel groupings, to get matched up on some favorable people out of the backfield too. I would imagine that's a kind of a benefit for you.
It is a real big benefit. We got him there, and you know, of course, a long touchdown. He got matched up on a backer, and you know, a couple of different guys. Well, you match him up on a backer, you can match him up on a safety. He has the ability to run routes like a receiver, and like I say, that's one of the reasons we wanted to create that, the way the game is played now. But he's still a very good runner, and an excellent. He's not a good pass blocker. He's an excellent pass blocker also.
Coach, where are you at right now with Kellen Mond in terms of his headspace? You've had him for a little while, and he's had some ups, he's had some downs, but it's been that consistency that hasn't triggered yet, where you get it, you know, for a stretch of games. I know you brought somebody in toward the end of the game, got them some experience, which is good. What are your thoughts right now on Kellen Mond and locking in on some type of?
Kellen had a couple plays we'd like to have back, but he still played a good game in that game. Yeah, mm-hmm. He made a lot of plays, moved the ball, great decision, had good decision-making. Left the corner, we got some pressure, and we acted on the route. We were a little bit short, and had to throw it early that we weren't, you know, didn't need to. And, anytime you got the ball, you got to take care of it and get it outside. But the rest of it, I mean, there's a play or two here and there for the most part. You know, you want a couple of throws here and back, and we make a couple other plays for it. We're in good shape. He's in a good space. Got to continue to get better. Got to continue to play around him, and we've got to finalize drives in the red zone to match those scores and do things. So, you know, he'll continue to improve in what he's doing, but he's still doing a lot of really good things for us and controls a lot of different things that goes on.
Do you like your pass distribution, or would you like to see the wideouts getting more?
Oh, you always like to see wideouts getting more when we can. But you know, there was a part, like you say, we're kind of controlling. We wanted to control the clock in that game. Again, we're trying not to give them the ball when they hit the big plays. But at the same time, when you're doing that, the way they played and the way we did, we missed the ball through tight ends, backs, receivers, and we ate 37 minutes of the clock trying to keep long drives, keep them off field, and get points. We got to finish them. But, you know, there was, you know, like you were talking about earlier, and last week y'all were talking about running the ball, which we did. Our offensive line played pretty well in the game, too. We never gave up 47 throws and actually moved people when we blocked them. I mean, really did a good job in there on some things. Game just got just points-wise. But we were, you know, there's a lot of not only to control with the clock, with the run, but also with the pass. And, you know, did what we did wanted to do offensively. And then you got to try to get the ball down the field more times. And we had opportunities in the game. They covered them, but we were hitting the underneath routes, second and third options, and we're creating plays. So, I mean, those guys will continue to grow, and we'll continue to get them the ball.
I don't know if they have a Jalen Waddle, but Florida's looking pretty good.
Florida has a Kyle Pitts, who's probably going to be one of the top four draft prospects in my rankings. This kid, Jimbo, is unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And
he's a quote-unquote tight end. Yeah. And let me tell you what he is. He's a nightmare out in matchups.
Yep. So you're out of the frying pan into the fire with this week there. Defensively, probably not as tough as Alabama coach, but offensively, they're looking like Kyle Trask. It looks like he's awful comfortable right now.
No, Kyle is playing really well, and the guys around him are well. I mean, he and Tony, the number one, are very quick, agile, athletic. The other got two big guys, are Grimes. They've had good transfers. They have two Ohio State and Penn State have had two transfer receivers that are doing really well for them. They transferred in, came back to Florida. One was from Jersey, one was from Florida. Tony was a kid out who'd been hurt his whole career, finally got healthy out of Blunt, out of Alabama, which I've known about. And then Pitts is in draft, is playing around him very well.
Yeah.
Like you said, they do a good job.
How tough is that from a preparation standpoint, too? Because they do run Tony. They do have a couple different quarterbacks who do a couple different, vastly different things. From a preparation standpoint, that's got to put you in a little bit of a bind because you got to spend more time on it, don't you?
You do. You got to spend more time on it. You got to spend more time on the package, in which they have. And you know, they have a guy who's a runner and Trask is a thrower. And but they'll still mix the ball in with Trask a little bit and run occasionally with quarterback runs and things. But it's a good mix for them, and they're playing very well right now.
So I hosted virtually the Touchdown Club preseason awards, coach, and we got the lowdown on where all the kids are going, and I know you can't talk about them specifically, but I'll tell you this: you got some beef from around here, a couple of tackles and a tight end that are really big and strong, and really love what you're doing down here. Now I know you got to be big in the SEC. What about that speed? What are you getting speed wise for your guys this recruiting class?
Well, I mean, I can't specifically talk about specific guys, but you know, in this league, always the guys up front is one of the reasons I was happy about our offensive line this past week. And our defensive line, we got to get a little more pass rush, but we played the run very well in the physicality of the game. And, you know, you got to have physical people to be able to play in this league. And that's the name of the game, to be able to at least allow the skill guys to function. And we've got to keep building on that and keep developing that. And, again, we feel like we're recruiting very well right now and have a lot of interest out, a lot of good kids in the next couple classes, and we're building things the way we want to build them.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you, I'm awful impressed with some of the kids that have. I know you can't talk about specifically, but it is awfully impressive what you're doing down here, coach. So keep that up. So that's Jimbo Fisher, Florida this week. And man, going from Alabama to Florida, baby. Here we go, 2020. Let's go. It's go right into it. So, coach, best of luck this week. We're looking forward to it. We'll be watching you guys on Saturday.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate being with you.
All right. Thanks, coach. Jimbo Fisher right here on ESPN 97.5. No, I'm telling you, he's got a couple, three good players coming out of here, and big players.
Yeah, and that's going to be the key, is getting that front built back up, because one of the things that Mike Sherman did better than anything, he may not have coached them up great, but, man, he brought some crazy talented guys in for Sumlin. Like Jake Matthews, Luke Jokel. He had a ton of Johnny Manziel was his.
Was Genesee, and were they his? Or,
no,
or
was that, Avery Genesee was. That was Summy. He and Jermaine Illuminor, both those guys were Summy. But defensively, Miles Garrett was Sherman's, I believe, right? Or no?
No, Johnny was Sherman's, wasn't it?
Johnny was Sherman's for sure.
Miles Garrett.
Sumlin had to have Miles Garrett, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, 14, 15, 16. When did Miles Garrett come out? 17 draft? Yeah, no, that had to be. Oh, no, he came out 17 draft. Yeah, that had to be. That had to be Kevin Sumlin. But getting some of these guys, but you know, building the fronts is going to be very important. They got to get pass rushing, and then they got to get better on offensive line. They did block okay. They blocked okay. And I thought Kalamanda actually had some good throws. But he's just not a consistently productive. He's not a guy that you feel like can beat Alabama. He's not a guy that you feel like can get you the Aggies over the hump of where they're not looking up at three different teams in the West. I mean, they've got to aspire to be a top two team in the West every year. That's got to be their goal. Texas' goal has to be number one in that conference every year, not just top two. Top two should be a given. But neither one of them have built the fronts like they need to. Look, I mean, Texas got gashed left and right. A&M has not dominated people with their defensive front. So There's too much talent in this state not to be able to land those guys and develop those guys.
And then develop them.
Well, we got to, when we come back, we're back on the Bill O'Brien train, also the Houston Astros. Now is when we let you guys sound off. We got a good long segment coming up. So here's the number 713-780-3776. Your thoughts on Bill O'Brien out as head coach and obviously general manager of the Houston Texans, Romeo Crennel. Is in as the interim head coach. We'll talk about coaching candidates, and we've got the Houston Astros with a big game one win.
Yeah, I also wanted to mention that Jimbo was brought to you by Damaris Barbecue. That's where we watched the game yesterday, by the way, the Astros, and just a wonderful location for you to go and watch your games. And, you know, we got the Greek salad, and you get the wings, and barbecue, and everything else that's going on. I want to just thank Yanni and Frankie and Billy and everybody over at Damaris for sponsoring the Jimbo Fisher Big Ags. They love their Ags, so if you're looking for a great place to watch the game on Saturday, you're not going up to College Station, hey, get over to Damaris on 18th Street right there on 610, or you can go to the Shepherd location just north of West Alabama.
And let's talk about Blackland Distillery right now, because I know certain pro football fans have been drinking a lot over the last of the first four games, and it's understandable. Hopefully you were drinking something that is top of the line, and I'm talking about my friends over at Blackland Distillery. Blackland Distillery is, to be honest with you, it's unlike anything that you've tried from the state of Texas. It really is. And I'll give you an example with the bourbon, for example. It's got a strikingly smooth finish because they use state-of-the-art distillation methods and quadruple water filtration systems when proofing and blending. And their bourbon's very popular with longtime bourbon drinkers or people who have just started drinking bourbon because it's got a great profile. It's got a corn profile with kind of a fruity front palate sweetness, clean barrel vanillas and light grain through the middle, and then a light, soft tobacco flavor at the very finish. And if there's a criticism, it's that it's too easy to drink and you're knocking them back. Whether it's cocktails, whether it's right there, you know, just straight bourbon, I think you're going to love the bourbon from Blackland Distillery. Try the vodka, the gin, and the rye. They all have their own unique components. From grain to glass, it's Blackland Distillery. Right here in the state of Texas, blacklanddistillery.com.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. Yeah, we're heading back up to Damaris again today to watch the Astros. 3:37 start, so if you want to come watch the game with us, you're more than welcome to come on over there. It's on 18th Street right there on the 610 feeder right by the Whataburger over there. So come on, hang out with us and watch the Astros. A lot of fun. A lot of fun. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776 is the number. You brought something up about, you know, Bill O'Brien's next job. I can't imagine any GM could, you can't, I don't know that you can trust a dude.
You can't. He killed two GMs, yep. Rick, and you know, Rick wasn't his guy. He wanted a hardcore football guy, a guy up there grinding tape and all that stuff. Understandable. When he gets it, and Brian Gain, who doesn't care about talking to the media, straight down the line, Parcells guy, football guy, kills him too. Him and Jack Easterby went and killed him. So, you know, in a way, this is highly ironic for him to go kill Gain, be part of it, and then for Gain to get him on the back end. That is very ironic. Yep. What happened in the building. And Gain is going to ascend. He's already ascended. Not Gain, but Jack Easterby has ascended to executive vice president of football. He has a lot of juice now. He has a lot of power with that owner. Obviously, if you didn't know that, you know it now. After Bill O'Brien was gone, because Cal McNair doesn't make that move. Brian, that's a Jack Easterby move yesterday. And I got to thank Jack, because Jack ended that before Bill O'Brien could hurt anything else with his personnel moves. That's the coaching stuff doesn't bother me as much.
I got a text from somebody that told me, he said he was in the building. He said, "You nailed it." That It's about an aura, about an environment that Bill O'Brien created that is not Texans.
No.
It's just not Texans.
It's not.
And it permeated into, I mean, I got texts from people all over. Is he gone? Is he gone? Because it's almost like you can root for the Texans again.
It really is. And people inside the building, they said, were shed. I talked to one of them who said no tears were shed. There were no tears shed because it's been an atmosphere of on eggshells.
I can't imagine. I texted him back. I said, I can't imagine walking in that building every day, walking on eggshells.
Yeah.
Because you were just so worried about the explosions or the toxic atmosphere that he created there.
They have some good people and personnel who were just, you know, I feel bad for them because I just think they were just beaten up. There were just people, the highs and the lows. It's frankly what lost me with Bill O'Brien is the way he treated people, the way he treated sideline reporters from TV stations, from the people in the building, the people he fired, the people like he had. There was somebody, I can't tell this story directly, but somebody who is a long, long, long time Texans fan and a guy who's a long time Houstonian, who is a very renowned Houstonian. He had a run-in with him that was supposed to be a pleasant one, then turned into a very negative one, and it can never happen like that. I know I'm not giving enough details, but I'll tell you off the air. Mm-hmm. But it's stuff like that where it's not just in the building where he's making people miserable. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. And, you know, he was terrible as a general manager. As a coach, I think he's average to above average. I don't think he's probably going to end up being the right coach he's obviously not for Deshaun Watson. But I heard Deshaun Watson wasn't broken up about this. He's not broken up about Bill O'Brien being gone. I was told he doesn't dislike Bill at all. He likes him fine, but he was not broken up about this. He's a guy that just wears on you and wears on you, and that's his personality. And even when we had this media event where he tried to rebrand, and I knew what it was. It was a rebranding of, look, this is go have a beer with Bill guy, you know, because he knows his head coach, general manager. He thought the city was too negative and the media was too negative about him. I went and specifically, I waded through all these lies and bullcrap because I already knew the answer to several of the things they were talking about. And I was so, and I couldn't believe the bad football stuff I was hearing from a personnel side standpoint. And when I asked questions, I was immediately jumped on. And I already knew he didn't like me I did, you know, I helped them out with some texts about draft stuff the year before, and so I had no beef with that. I don't care. I helped Rick a couple of times with draft stuff, and I thought Rick's time had come and gone, but I want the local team to do well. I don't care who the GM is. But Bill O'Brien, you know, I had heard he wasn't a big fan of mine because he thought I was that I was always up to Texans' ass. Well, last year, I got a job to do. You got to have a job to do. We want the Texans to win, but when they're not doing certain things, we got to say it. Well, that's the kind of sensitive guy he is. He knew it. And then when we're talking, I don't even know what you do, Lance. I don't, no offense. Why are you so mad at this event? Why are you so mad about? I'm not mad. I'm questioning why you made these moves. We had COVID. We didn't get a chance to get into anything, but your moves, I don't understand why you did these things. And when pressed on it, he gets super defensive. And then it turns into, you know, I don't even know what you do. I know you do some draft stuff or whatever. You know, I'm on the radio. He tried to demean me by acting like he didn't know I'm on the radio. You were on our show.
Mm-hmm.
You listen and you get pissed off about people on radio shows. You read stuff and get pissed off. It's just at some point, this organization has to get it right, where they get a culture moving forward where everybody wants to get on board and pull in the right direction. And I know I mentioned the Colts because I know them well, but I also know the Chiefs well. I know Seattle well. There's teams that I know well that they have that. They're all on the same team and they're moving forward in the same direction. And that was never this Texans organization. There's always been rifts between GM and coach, and you know, there was a rift that got built between Gary Kubiak and Rick Smith toward the end, where I think Rick kind of got close to the owner and made sure that he wasn't associated with Gary Kubiak. At some point, this is what needs to happen. Whether Jack Easterby stays there or not, and he is going to stay there, you and I both know that. He's in with the owner now. He cannot be a general manager. Jack, if you're listening, hire a strong, competent GM, give him the power, and let him hire the head coach. And that way you have a chance to have a flow.
I'm listening this morning. Dan Graziani, or Don, what's his name?
Graziano
yeah. was on there. Well, here's what they're probably going to do. You know, Jack Easterby, a guy who came from New England, he's in the power now, and he's probably going to hire a head coach, and then they'll hire a GM. And I'm like, oh, my God.
That's the bad.
Please,
that's such a bad direction.
It's bass backwards. Don't do it. Just hire a GM and let him hire.
I'll throw some names out there.
Jack Easterby's running this place now, and I talked about not being toxic. And Jack Easterby is all love and God and Jesus and no, hey, listen, I'm all for it.
You
for
like
it.
Jesus too,
I
right?
I love Jesus.
Are you a fan?
I'm going to
okay.
Bible studies tonight. As
yeah,
matter of fact.
See,
so I'm all about
Jesus
that.
Jesus doesn't dab,
but
Lance.
Yeah, if he loves Jesus, you get a dab.
Let football. People do football things.
Yep.
Jack Easterby's not a football guy. Let football people, Jack, go back to making sure the guys are living good lives and doing all the things.
Jack can actually have a position of power and still have success. If Jack Easterby wants to be successful, first thing I'd do is bring Chris Olsen back.
Yep.
I would attempt to bring a real cap guy back. That's the first thing I would do. The second thing I would do is just what you said. Bring in a competent GM. Find people. Jack's not going to have a lot of connections around the league. He's not a football guy. So it's important to find the right guys who have connections. Maybe get a consultant in the building who has experience and get the right GMs interviewed and get the right people in the building and then get the coach. Nope. That's what you need. And the right people are out there.
Have the power structure the way it should be. GM, owner, Easterby, GM.
Is that the way it should be?
Well, if that's the way it is, then that's the way it is. Owner, GM, coach. That's the way it should be. Make it, do it right, Cal. You did. I got big ups to Cal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Big ups to Cal. Okay? Way to go. You realize.
And big ups to Easterby.
I got a feeling, though.
Hey, big ups to Easterby for doing this, by the way.
I bet you even the business side was going, we can't do this. We can't continue.
Oh, they've got to be thrilled.
They've got to be thrilled.
You just talked about how they could have a non-sellout during a pandemic with only 13,000 seats.
13,000, I'll bet you. Well, I'll bet you that you don't have. You
still might not.
Yesterday, the safest place in the city Sunday was at the Texans game.
Yeah, you could be there, and you have so much social distancing going on. Nobody in the seats.
What?
What? Shaking my head at both of you.
You what?
What happened?
You're allowed. Yes, yesterday was a bright spot in what's been a dark, dark time.
Yes,
but you still got Lord Baelish in power.
Well, there's nothing you can do about it. You know what? Here's the thing.
Hold on. Why do you think
maybe he's Jaime Lannister? Maybe he's Jaime Lannister.
What?
Kingslayer.
Look, he has sex with his sister.
No, I didn't say that.
You called him Jaime Lannister.
Lannister also was a Kingslayer.
Well, maybe Bill O'Brien was the Mad King.
Maybe he was Baratheon or whoever.
No, maybe he was the Mad King.
Yeah.
Bill O'Brien was the Mad King.
We've been calling him King Joffrey.
He was just lopping off heads everywhere.
Maybe he was the Mad King.
Willy-nilly. Killing everybody.
If Cal made this decision independent of Jack Easterby, then great. But if it was influenced greatly by Jack Easterby, so he has just decided to turn his franchise over to, we read his bio yesterday, and we can't figure out why he's so high up in a football organization.
No.
If he is the person pulling the strings, why, I hope for your sake that he determines, you know what, I don't know what I don't know. So I'm going to go hire a GM and sit back and be about player development and try to clean up the environment in this organization. But if he was already involved in contract stuff like he was, why would he want to give that up?
Jack, I don't think, wants to face any bullets. If you put yourself in a position of being a quote-unquote GM, the bullets get shot at you. I think Jack, in a position of executive vice president of football, you can sit there for a long time. And no bullets. The bullets can get shot at the GMs and the coaches, and you can just sit there forever. Hopefully, Jack recognizes that because he ain't going anywhere. If people think Cal's going to get rid of him, that's not happening. He's the one who killed Bill O'Brien. Trust me when I tell you that. So now you're going to see leaks on both sides. There's Bill's got his guy, Jack's got his guy. They'll leak stuff out there that they want out there. Pro Football Talk has something today about Jack Easterby's. about Jack Easterby's resume and about it being shady and how it's changed. There's a change in Jack Easterby's resume from March to now. Why was it changed? It was something that, you know, and they brought up George O'Leary's name, how he got whacked after he. My guess, it said it came from an NFL executive. I can't help but wonder if Bill O'Brien didn't throw that out there. I don't know that for a fact at all, but I can't help but think, I wonder if Bill O'Brien threw that out there to Florio or got it leaked out there, because now they're looking at his at Jack Easterby's resume. Now they're actually looking at it, and they're looking at the Jacksonville Jaguars, where he first started, and what his initially what he said his role was there, and now they've changed the role. Since March, they've altered the role, and Pro Football Talk has that article, and I'm wondering where they got that information, because they said they had it in March, but they decided not to pursue it. But I wonder if they did actually have it in March, or if they were given it, if something was given to them yesterday. That's what I wonder.
Yeah, not sure how exactly that went down, but yeah, Jack Easterby behind the scenes is, we'll see. You know what? Maybe Cal will wake up to it. We'll see. But at least, at the very least, even if Jack Easterby was behind it, at least some good was done yesterday. Chastain Ford is what I'm talking about. As a matter of fact, I've texted back and forth, and I've talked to Patrick yesterday. I'm picking up a cargo van that they've got, and help. And I need something for a move. And he said, "Come, I got you a cargo van. What do you check this thing out and how awesome it is?" And it's they've got something, really something for everybody. They've got something for everything. When you're looking for that vehicle, well, that's why they're the number one commercial vehicle dealership in the city of Houston, is because they know exactly what you need for each thing. I said, "Hey, how about a pickup? I need a pickup this weekend." And he was like, "Nah, take this cargo van and see what this is all about." And I was like, "Okay, you know better than I do." And he does. They are excellent at that. And and with your vehicle as well, retail as well. I mean, what are you going to use an Expedition for? Or do you need a smaller Sport Explorer? Or do you need a pickup truck? And do you have to have, you know, the lid for it? Everything about it, these guys are so knowledgeable and so good. I love the experience. You will love the experience as well. They've got unbelievable deals right now on the Expedition. They've got them on the XLTs as well and the STX. So you're looking for that Ford car or truck, there's one place to go. Join the Chastain family. I love them, and you will too. It's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead. And you can buy at home as well at ChastainFord.com. Shop at home at ChastainFord.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
.746 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Hey, this is an Astros day too now. Bill O'Brien, how about
he can't hog up everything. You know what? Remember the Astros took away the heat from Bill O'Brien whenever
the Hopkins trade.
No, they took it away from the loss to Kansas City after being up 24-0. And then Astrogate came out.
Yes.
Well, now the Astros win and they're like, "Hey, is Bill O'Brien going to we don't want the shine taken off of us.
We scored 10 runs."
And Bill O'Brien's like, "What about the Astros? Talk about the Astros." Like, hey, stop screaming at us. You're not the coach anymore.
No, you're not. I don't know where he's going. I don't know that he can coach again, honestly. Maybe college.
Brian even says, he can be a head coach in college, or he can be an offensive coach, quarterback coach. I don't know about play caller, but he could be a position coach if he wants to. But he's so power hungry. I just don't know. I think he's got to be a head coach in college.
No, if I'm a college coach, I don't want to hire him as a coordinator. He'll take my job away from me in a year and a half. He'll be behind the scenes with the athletic director or the owner, and he'll be taking that job away. He can't trust him. Brandon is here. What's up, Brandon?
Hello?
Brandon, you there? Yeah.
Hey, it is Reginald.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, it says Brandon up here. Hey, Reginald.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, my Groundhog's Day is finally over with. Bill O'Brien is out of here. And Lance, I hope you really get to what you said you were going to do, tell the truth, because I kind of felt like you've always been holding back from saying what you really wanted to say. And I've always called and I've talked to you guys recently about that guy wasn't a good coach at Penn State. He actually had people think that Christian Hackenberg was a first-round pick. The guy never even got on a football field in the NFL, if I'm correct, Lance. Am I correct with that?
Yeah, no, I think he was drafted. I think he may have played. I'm trying to remember if he ever got reps. I think he did at some point, but he was terrible. You're right. Now, I do want to give Bill O'Brien credit, though. He actually was good the year that Bill O'Brien had him and then never at Penn State. Right? I shouldn't say good, but he showed some promise, and then he never developed. And I was terrified Bill O'Brien was going to draft him, to be honest with you.
Right. Let me ask you guys, I'm really not a the enemy, Eric. I don't think he's going to be a good head coach in the league because, I mean, you know, he's at Minnesota, did little things there, and now at Kansas City, but it still boils down to Andy Reid is pulling all the strings. I don't want to see guys come in as experiment here in this for this team. But what do you guys – you used to talk to Sumlin a lot. I like him as a coordinator here. If they could get a good head coach and bring him in as a coordinator, how would that sound as a Texan and the Texans organization?
Yeah, I don't think anyone would hire Sumlin to be a coordinator of an NFL offense. I just think those days are – I don't see that happening. The names to look for would
Plus, he has the coronavirus right now, so you're not
bringing
him in.
Yeah, you can't bring somebody into the building with coronavirus. I don't think he meant right now, though, John, but what you said is accurate.
Yeah, he does have the coronavirus.
Yeah, he does actually have the coronavirus now. Here's the names to look for. So I'm assuming it's going to be an offensive guy, John. Here's why. Deshaun Watson, right?
Yeah, but usually when you have an offensive guy, you go defense the next hire.
Well,
I think Bill O'Brien was an offensive guy. I'm not sure.
When you have offense, well, one thing that you do see is when you hire one side of the ball, a head coach who's big in one side of the ball, usually draft the other side. And that's what needs to happen. The Texans have put draft capital on offense. The defense needs a complete makeover. They don't have first or second rounder, but I think they'll draft an offensive guy because Deshaun is such an important investment for you now. And then I think you'll really spend a lot of money and time on defense. The names to look for, I would say, are Brian Daboll from the Buffalo Bills. Done a nice job with Josh Allen. He's got an Alabama tie, you know, an Alabama background. And I've heard that he actively wants the job behind the scenes. Greg Roman's name is going to come up. Greg Roman's work, he was a Houston Texan quality control coach. He got elevated to a quarterback coach. He has been not a very charismatic guy. He has worked with Colin Kaepernick, Tyrod Taylor, and, of course, Lamar Jackson. So people see a dual threat, you know, offensive mind. Lamar Jackson can make you look awfully good, though.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you got to be careful about.
Greg Roman was here, by the way.
Yeah, he was a quarterback coach.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
You knew him.
I knew him before. He was
he was quality control.
Yeah, yeah.
You knew him. What did you think? I've heard his personality's not much.
You know, at that time, when you're quality control, you're just trying to make your way in a
league. Right, probably talk much.
No.
But his name's going to be mentioned a lot. Arthur Smith, offensive coordinator for the Tennessee Titans. He's done a nice job resurrecting the career of obviously, Ryan Tannehill, Dell's guy. You've got Joe Brady's name will probably be mentioned, but I think he's too young in the game. He has been with the Saints before, so it's not like he doesn't have NFL experience, but you got to really be a leader of men. I think he needs more seasoning, and he needs to learn under Matt Rhule a little bit longer. Eric Bieniemy will be the name that gets people the most excited. People with Kansas City tell me Eric Bieniemy is highly involved in the offense. The idea that it's Andy Reid all the time is just not accurate. Eric Bieniemy is incredibly involved in the offense.
What we see though is Andy Reid sitting on the bench with Patrick Mahomes. We see him calling the plays. So yeah, listen, he's had success. Doug Peterson was an Andy Reid guy, and a lot of people are looking. Hey, wait a minute, Doug Peterson can get a job. That doesn't matter that Andy Reid did everything. Why is it that Eric Bieniemy can't get a job when Andy Reid does everything? So you know, we'll see. You forgot to mention Robert Saleh.
No, I'm only going offensive guys right now.
Oh, okay.
Robert Saleh's on my defensive list for sure. Matt Eberflus from the Indianapolis Colts. They've very quietly turned into a really good defense. He's got a background with the Bears.
I know. We're just saying Eberflus.
I know. I know. But Saleh is the name.
I can't do that.
Saleh has the persona.
Yeah.
He feels like a Mike Vrabel type head coach.
He was another guy that just quality was making control. His way at the same time.
He was quality control on defense too.
Yeah, but you could tell he had a much more powerful aura around him than Roman.
Yeah. And I'm going to throw this from a general manager standpoint. I don't know some of the hot names that you would see. I do think that the names that would be interesting to me would be Ed Dodds, who is the first in command with the Colts. He has been with Ballard. He has been with John Schneider with Seattle, longtime scout. He's from South Texas. Ed is a no-nonsense football guy, and he is about business, about football. And I think Ed would be a great guy to have in your building. I just don't know if his personality would mesh with Jack's. And unfortunately, I think that is going to have to – I think it's going to be more important about the GM meshing with Jack Easterby than with the head coach. I think there's a guy out of Kansas City named Ryan Poles, who I'm a big fan of. He's a younger guy. He was a tight end with Boston College. Very, very sharp. And he comes from that Brett Veach, Andy Reid tree, but he might need some more seasoning as well. I'd love to see Alonzo Highsmith get an interview and have an opportunity. I don't think he'll get a GM job, but whoever comes in, Zoe is a guy that you need to have in the building. He's great with players. He's great as a liaison. He knows scouting. He knows personnel people. He's a guy that would be great to help pick other personnel guys. If you had him in the building, because he knows everyone around the league. I think John Dorsey is a name that needs to be mentioned. And here's why, John.
Yep.
John Dorsey, if you look at the guys that he brought in Kansas City and Cleveland, the big mark against him that I think will ultimately keep him from getting a job is that the perception, and it's a reality, is that he brought in some questionable character guys, especially in Cleveland, but Tyreek Hill also in Kansas City. But Reek's also literally a game breaker. I mean, you have to factor that in too. I don't know if the McNairs, especially Janice McNair, would be okay with a Dorsey hire, or maybe even Jack Easterby, if they would be okay with it. And then he would have to be okay with having Jack Easterby over him, which I don't know if that would be something that John Dorsey would like. I think John Dorsey knows football players. And I think John Dorsey knows good coaches around the league. And I think from a football standpoint, Dorsey would be a good fit. I don't know if he'd be a great fit with, there's also Nick Caserio, obviously. You talk about Josh McDaniels and Caserio. I think people in Houston have really cooled on the New England thing, just like they cooled on the Denver thing.
Yeah, man. I don't know.
And Josh, could Nick Caserio work under?
But here's the deal.
Work under Jack Easterby? I don't know if he'd like doing that.
I don't know what kind of relationship McDaniels and Easterby had in New England, but that's a real, real possibility. Another New England deal.
Well, this
here.
Is a question. You go through these names, I'm thinking to myself, what football people that you actually like are going to be willing to work here?
That's
under Easterby, because
that's the concern.
That story's already in the pro football talk. I mean, I haven't been part of the conversation, but I've seen some of the stuff you've put in the group chat about football people not being all that in on Easterby.
Right.
Are real football people going to want to work under him?
No.
Well, if it's a Salah, a Roman, a Dayball,
who just want their chances.
They've got to have.
Yeah. No, but what about GMs?
The GM.
Though? Yeah, GMs. That's another.
GMs story. Can pick and choose.
I don't think Dorsey could do it.
GMs? No, I don't think so either. GMs can pick and choose their spots. If there's a hot name and they think this is a bad situation because the draft picks and how much money has already been spent, and maybe Easterby's got too much power. Because let's face it. I mean, Easterby got a GM killed and a head coach killed. You got to think, if you're a GM and you're coming in and Easterby has this much power with the owner, if you're a good GM, you're right. If you're a good GM, because Easterby's got this reputation in the league now. Just so people know, this stuff gets out there quick. Like, Bill O'Brien doesn't have a great reputation in terms of, I think people like him as a coach. They think he's got some talent as a coach, but I think his reputation in terms of being able to work with him or for him are going to be questionable. You see how they've run through special teams coaches and wide receiver coaches? Mm-hmm. I had somebody tell me that he almost came to blows with Larry Izzo at one point, that he and Larry Izzo, you know, with Bill O'Brien, does that, you know, Randy Moss and him had the blow up that led to Randy Moss being out at New England. He had to fight on the sidelines with Tom Brady. I mean, this is the Mad King. Mm-hmm. That's the Mad King. And Jaime Lannister, got rid of him, and now he's got that one.
Your boy Allen's back at it, okay? They need to model themselves after the proven stable and winning franchises like the Patriots, Chiefs, and Browns.
What?
Zoe worked with Dorsey and Cleveland. Yeah, I know Zoe.
What are you talking about?
All the time. He built the Browns juggernaut.
Just texting him.
Yeah, the Browns juggernaut. Everybody says that. The Patriots, the Chiefs, and the Browns. Everybody
all
puts
belong
them
in the same
in
group.
The same sentence.
I'm sorry, did y'all not see the Browns beat the great Cowboys team?
Yeah, I saw that. No, they look pretty good actually. 3-1 though. They do. They look much better. 7:59 ESPN.
Oh, when we come back, I'm gonna throw the name at head coach that will have the city buzzing the most.
Dana.
I'm not gonna say.
Kelvin Sampson.
You'll have to sit with it. No, okay. Not Kelvin Sampson. Oh, John Lucas.
Okay. Next.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.